Dateline, July 25th and 26th, 1995 and 2000. The King of Fighters dabbles in fire and ice. This week we have the privilege of celebrating a double anniversary, as two different King of Fighters games came out almost precisely 5 years apart, both of which built on the preceding incarnation, and both of which added memorable characters to an already popular roster. But while one title was a major step forward as the series headed for new heights, the other turned out to be more of a shark jump as the dark times for both SNK and KOF were nigh. If you're new to the King of Fighters, it all began in 94 when SNK fused their two concurrent fighting game franchises into a crossover collaboration, filled in with characters from the company's earlier arcade games and a couple original creations for good luck. One of those originals was Kyo Kusanagi, a schoolboy with the power of flames, who was the leader of the Japan team and presented as the main hero of the game. The King of Fighters 95 came out less than a year after the first game, and not too much has changed. The story is still centered on a tournament featuring 8 teams of 3 fighters overseen by a madman named Rugal Bernstein, who seems remarkably alive considering the ending of the previous tournament. In a major shift, however, players can now choose edit mode and select any 3 fighters they wish rather than stick with the predetermined 8 teams as seen in KOF 94. The two CPU boss characters, Rugal and Saishu Kusanagi, Kyo's father, are also selectable, meaning players have their pick of 30 different characters, for a total of 4,060 different team combinations. Yes, they boast of this on the back of the box, even though they only say over 2,000 teams. But even more than shifting the way the characters are chosen, SNK shook up the otherwise stable roster. 7 of the 8 teams in KOF 95 are unchanged from 94, by replacing the American sports team with a new rivals trio, Billy Kane from Fatal Fury, Eiji Kisaragi from Art of Fighting 2, and a brand new character named Iori Yagami. Iori has a strange look. His hair is bright red and hangs over his face, but does not get in his eyes somehow. He wears a tiny jacket over a gigantic shirt with tails that extend to his knees, and his pant legs are tied together with a string. I fell in love with him right away. Fighting games have always had rival characters since Karate Champ had White Karate Guy and Red Karate Guy. Ryu and Ken, speaking of karate guys, are essentially identical in the original Street Fighter 2, while Scorpion and Sub-Zero look the same in Mortal Kombat but have distinct special moves. In KOF 95, Kyo and Iori are presented as opposites of the same coin. Both men, boys, use flames, but Iori's fire is an unnatural purple. Kyo wears a school uniform with a sun on the back, but Iori has wild hair and clothes with a moon on the back. Both have fireball dragon punch moves akin to those in Street Fighter 2, but Kyo can leap into the air and kick opponents skyward, as Iori can dash along the ground and juggle them with punches. Aside from this pair of newfound frenemies and unlocking the ability to remix teams, KOF 95 sticks closely to the first game's ideals. Its most radical feature might be existing at all. By releasing a second game within a year, SNK was making a statement that this series would be an annual one, a practice already common for sports games at the time, but an unheard of promise in the fighting game world, to be sure. Leaping 5 years ahead, SNK released The King of Fighters 2000 on July 26th, a little over a year after KOF 99 had introduced the new Striker system and a new lead character for the franchise, K-Dash. In 2000, it was time for K-Dash to receive his own Iori-style rival, but this time, SNK zigged instead of zagged and introduced a girl named Kula Diamond, whose combat method in the official supplemental materials is described as anti-K-Dash arts. In other words, she fights fire with ice. K-Dash and Kula look more alike than you might expect. Both clearly share a taste for bodysuits, though Kula's outfit looks like it breathes better. Her standing animation shows frost falling from her body. Their movesets have some overlap. Both are fond of the one-inch punch, but their powers don't function quite the same. K-Dash can kick a blast of fire clear across the screen, but Kula's ice breath doesn't have that kind of range, although she can summon a gust of icy wind that fills the entire screen. Kula proved to be a popular addition to the KOF family, and she's been a recurring face ever since. But the biggest change in KOF 2000 was to the year-old Striker system. In KOF 99, players designated one of their four teammates before each match as a Striker, who can jump in and interfere. However, Strikers could only be summoned a few times per match, and only when the active player character was standing still, limiting their strategic potential. KOF 2000 blew the doors off the Striker system by allowing Strikers to be summoned at any time during the match, and enabled players to recharge their Striker bar, allowing for more overall Striker opportunities in every contest. In an even bigger move, KOF 2000 also gives every single character an alternate Striker, literally dubbed Another Striker, which players can select before each match. These alternates are not just the same character performing a different move, they are a different character altogether. In many cases, characters from other SNK games. Terry Bogard's Another Striker is Geese Howard. Yuri Sakazaki's Another Striker is Nakarudu from Samurai Showdown. Vanessa's Another Striker is Fio from Metal Slug, and so on. While these characters are not fully playable on their own, these cameos turn KOF 2000 into a madcap, hey, I remember them, celebration of the extended Neo Geo library. KOF 95 and 2000 arrived at two very different points in SNK history, despite a gap of just 5 years. When I first saw KOF 95, I was excited by the new character, and wondered where the series would go next, even if I felt like not enough changes were made to justify purchasing the game. Remember that Neo Geo cartridges fetched hundreds of dollars at launch. But when KOF 2000 came out, as much fun as it was to play, I knew the writing was on the wall for SNK. The company was sold earlier that year to a pachinko maker who had abandoned the Neo Geo Pocket and closed SNK's American offices. While I feared it was the end of all things Neo Geo, that turned out to be premature, but KOF 2000 was the final game in the series produced by the original SNK I came to love. That company would go bankrupt the following year. There would be a revival as assets were bought and sold and the KOF series would live on. 15 is allegedly in development at this very moment. But back in 2000, as we all celebrated a new millennium, I was more worried about what we were losing. Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and you can follow me on Twitter at FEITCLUB. Good night!